Please open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, from verses 14 to verse 41, Peter gives the first sermon recorded in the book of Acts. And let me just remind you of the context. This is after Jesus has ascended into heaven, and the apostles have been sent back to Jerusalem to wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is poured out on them on Pentecost. They all start speaking in tongues, and a crowd gathers, and no one listening knows what's going on. Some are perplexed, some mock. And then Peter stands up and delivers the first sermon in Acts. Now, this is the point in our service where we take the Lord's Supper together. And what does Acts chapter 2 have to do with the Lord's Supper? Peter's sermon is the first public proclamation of the gospel recorded in Acts. And in it, we see God's mercy and forgiveness extended to a wicked people through the cross of Christ. Where do we see this? We see this in the wickedness of the people Peter addresses and the mercy of the message he proclaims. Now, we're just going to look at a couple of these verses to get this idea. Let's examine who the audience is. Look at verses 22 and 23 with me. And notice as I read it, the word "you" as Peter addresses his audience and describes them. In verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." This crowd of Jews hearing this sermon, this crowd of people were in fact the same crowd that the works and wonders and signs performed by Jesus had happened to, and it was in their very midst. These were the people that knew everything that had happened. These were the people that crucified and killed Jesus. This is the wicked people addressed by Peter's sermon. And what was this message of mercy? Peter's message is focused on who Jesus is. Now, this crowd listening didn't get who Jesus was. And no one really understood why he had to die. Not even the apostles truly understood that Jesus had to die and be raised from the dead. But at this point, it's clear that Peter gets it. And after these verses that we just read, he quotes from two Psalms to make it clear to the audience that the death and the resurrection of Jesus truly was according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Who the people are and who Jesus is summarized in the last verse of Peter's sermon. "Let all the house of Israel," in verse 36, "let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now imagine at this point that you were standing in this crowd listening to Peter. Imagine if you were one of these devout men, these Jews, and you had the author of life, the Lord of glory, in your very midst. You saw the signs and the wonders performed. You knew all about it. And you'd been waiting for the Messiah all your life. And as you hear Peter quote from the Psalms, the word of God pierces your heart and your eyes are open, and suddenly you get it. You realize that the Messiah had come and you had in fact killed him. What would you do? How would you respond? How did they respond? Look at verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do? And how does Peter respond to their question? It's too late. There's nothing you can do? No. In verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You might have expected a different answer to the ones who crucified the Christ. But this says something about how merciful God is. The very first people that heard the gospel message are the very people who crucified the Lord. We look at this scene as we approach communion because it demonstrates again how forgiving God is. Each one of us has sinned against this merciful, forgiving God this week, today, or this very hour. Yet just as he extended a merciful, forgiving hand to this crowd of people, so he extends a merciful, forgiving hand to us today, right now, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives. And here, believer, when we hold the bread and juice, they remind us how our sins were forgiven. The bread represents Jesus' body that was crushed by the wrath we deserve. And the juice represents his blood that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So God extends mercy and forgiveness to a wicked people like us through the cross of Christ. And examine your heart right now and confess any unrepentant sin to this merciful, forgiving God. And if you're here tonight and you haven't responded to this message of faith and repentance, then just let the elements pass you by. But know this, this is the creator of the universe we are talking about, Jesus Christ. He came down in human flesh, was killed, crucified at the hands of his own people, and then turned around and offers those same people forgiveness. And today, right now, God offers you forgiveness. What should you do? Repent and believe in Jesus as your Lord. God is a merciful and forgiving God. But he also is a just God who will mark every sin that is committed, either on the cross of Christ or in an eternity in hell. As the men come forward and hand out the bread and juice, remember the cross, and we'll take it on our own.